Object lesson, quick object lesson. I'm going to read scripture to you. If you have a pencil, these two verses or three verses I want to give you, they have something to do with the message, but this is an object lesson for us. Ephesians 6:17, this is not in your bulletin. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Everybody say it, the Word of God. Word of God. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. Hebrews 4:12. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, to the discerning of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Remember those two scriptures, and then I'm going to come back to one other one. Object lesson number one. This is a real sword. This is not a fake sword, plastic sword. It is a real sword. This sword, we're going to spiritualize it for a moment, but I just want to tell you about the literal sword first. This sword is used in battle. But in peace times, I want you to hear this, in peace times, the sword is taken in and out and becomes dull. You can rub your hand on either side of the sword. But when it comes time for preparation for battle, this same sword is taken and sharpened razor sharp on both sides. You wouldn't do this if it was getting ready for battle. It's sharp on both sides. The Word of God, you've got to remember this, because if you remember this sword, now just a challenge, okay, just a little challenge. Now, I'm not the biggest person here. There's a couple guys that may be equal to my size or bigger. But I would say to you, ladies and gentlemen, with this sword in my hand, would anyone want a challenge in battle and come against me with the sword? Probably not. If you had any sense, you wouldn't, because I would protect myself if I was being threatened with my life. I would use what I'm supposed to use, the sword, to protect myself, to fight against the enemy. I'm saying that because I want you to remember, when you're in prayer and in the value and the importance of getting the Word of God in your heart. The Word of God is a sword, and it defends you, protects you, and fights battles for you when you use it for a weapon against the enemy and a weapon against even thoughts in your life. So the Word of God, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And it's more powerful than anything you can do with this. And this, of course, in the days of the sword, was a gun. It was your protection or your weapon that you carried with you at all times. Sword of the Spirit. So remember that, the sword of the Spirit. Then one other set of verses. Object lesson number two. I think you're in school, don't you? You're not in school. Huh? All right. Well, the school of the Spirit, I would say. We all should learn. 1 Peter 2:9. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's very own possession. I love that. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he has called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Key word, into his wonderful light through the Word of God. Gift given to me. This is a flashlight without a battery. You can put it in your nightstand if you want to. You can take it and put it in your car. This one happens to be in my car. So that if you ever have need for light, you go to this place. Push the button, and if it works, you'll see that it is a light. It also, if you push it again, you can turn it upside down, and it becomes a lantern. Nice little handy gadget. However, what we should be saying is, put the light right here, right where sanctuary is. If you've been around long as we have in this life, and somebody says, what church do you go to? I go to sanctuary. What is that? Sanctuary. Well, where is that? Ashby. Well, what does it believe? What kind of people go there? Who wants to come there? When I got saved, I never knew I needed to get saved. I was in a denominational world. And when I got saved, I didn't know I got saved. I didn't know the biblical term. All I knew is when I went down to the altar and asked Christ into my life, that I had a wonderful experience with God, with these people. I was in the Navy. So when I went back that same night on Sunday night to the ship and pulled out to sea the next day, all I knew is that I met some wonderful people, but something wonderful happened to me. Then I got my Bible out that I never read and started reading it and seeking and reading the Word of God. So I met these wonderful people, and I had a wonderful experience of finding some kind of new love and life in me. That's all I know. That's all I know. Who are they? Well, they're people that love God, I guess. I don't know. I'm going to go back there in 2 weeks because we're pulling back in to port in 2 weeks. And I'm heading back there because there's some wonderful people that I came and felt love from and found real love at an altar. Glory to God. Jesus. Now, with the Word of God, we're going to talk about God is love. So if I were you and I was attending this church, I would say I'm going to a church that loves God and loves people. But they also have to feel love from you. And so in John, our text is even in your bulletin, in 1 John. I love this new translation only because of the way it said it. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in His love. Now we're back to the Word again, because how do I know how much He loves me or you other than in the Word of God? So I encourage you this morning in your journey of life that you grow to love the Word of God. But what you're really doing is growing to love the Lord Jesus Christ because of His love for you. So it's important that we get this morning. Am I in love? Now, I am. Everybody has their own definitions of love and their own concepts of love. And I have to say that if you have lived very long, you can say, I'm in love. Everybody says, I'm in love. I'm in love. I'm in love with my beautiful wife that I've only been married to for 49 years, and we're just getting started, just getting warmed up. I said that to witnessing to a lady one day, and she said, 49 years? Whoa, there's hope for me, she said. And that was all she said. That was the end of the conversation. I don't know what that meant. But anyway, but I'm in love with her, and I love her more now than I ever have. But I also, as you know, some of my children, I'm in love with my four daughters and their wonderful husbands. Then I'm in love with 12 wonderful grandchildren. What I can't figure out is how come all my grandchildren are perfect. I haven't figured it out yet. I'm working on that. I'm working on it. But I'm in love with them. I love them. They're wonderful. I said one time to the Lord, am I doing okay? Am I all right? This is a lot of fun. I'm really liking this. And I don't want to like it too much because I don't want to over-treasure it in my heart because I treasure the Lord, but I am having fun. This is wonderful. I mean, if you haven't met some of my kids, you got to get to meet them. They're wonderful. I'm in love. But I don't want to talk about that this morning. That's just the introduction. The real thing we want to talk about is, and the challenge this morning is, are you in love with the Lord Jesus Christ? That's the key factor that is so vital for our walk in this life. You know how we say, well, I'm going to get back to the kingdom of God in just a minute, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these other things shall be added. That works, folks. That really does work. Seek ye first the thing, kingdom of the Lord. Love. We're going to run for just a moment, if you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, to John chapter 21. And I'm not going to read all the verses. I love the verses. But it's John chapter 20. Jesus is appearing to his disciples the third time after the resurrection. I love this. I love to witness about this. Why do I follow Jesus? He conquered death, folks. He died on the cross for my sins, and he conquered death. There's not many other people that have done that lately. You know what I'm saying? He did it. He became and is the Son of the living God. That's why I'm following him, because he is the Son of God. Well, Jesus has resurrected the third time, and he's revealing himself to his disciples while they're in a boat. But just before Jesus reveals himself, Peter and the disciples decide, and I believe they were depressed, sad, and over the whole deal, and missed the whole picture. We're going fishing. We're going back to our old profession. Do you remember Jesus said, I'm going to make you fishers of men? Peter said, I'm going fishing, and he wasn't talking about fishing for men. He was going back in the boat and going back out and going fishing because of the fact that he was giving up on this whole thing about following Jesus and going back to his old business. I'm going fishing. Now, the others, and what? Who joins them? The others that are just like him, going with him too. So they go fishing, and you know the story. They don't catch any fish. There's no fish there for them that night, all night long. And so in the morning, Jesus reveals himself. I love this. Just always fill your mind and your heart with the wonderful things around Jesus and his life. If you're busy and you don't have time to read 14 chapters at one time in your devotional life, stop for a moment and run to the gospel and read about Jesus, because he is the one that delivers and sets us free. So Jesus says, have you caught anything? No, we've been fishing all night, haven't got any fish. So Jesus says, well, throw the net over on the right side. It's kind of unique, isn't it? If you throw it on the other side, it's the wrong side. Put it on the right side. You got to get right or you get left. You know, that kind of statement that you hear said or whatever. So Jesus said, throw your nets over on the right side. And you know they did it. But you know, I wonder if you'd do that. Would you do that? You've been fishing all night long, and then and Jesus comes and stands there on the shore and says, just go back out and throw it on the right side. We're pros. We've been fishing all our life. We're in business. We know that there's no fish out there. We've been doing it all night long. But they did, thank God, obey Jesus and follow his instructions. Good thing to do. Jesus gives you instructions, follow them because it works. It's always good. Always good. Anything that Jesus ever calls us to do or be or say or live is always good. We've taught our children that all their lives. If you'll go the way that Jesus wants us to go, the ways of God are all good. And they're good because he's a God, back to our text, of love. He loves us with a demonstration of love by telling us, follow me and I will help lead you in life and make it good. Whatever the circumstances may be, if you look for him, he'll make it good. Well, little incident I just want to mention to you personally. Monday, a week ago, we had a little chest tightness, and so it was time to go to the doctor. We go to the hospital. He does the procedure, opens up a vessel, and we think we're fixed. At least he thought we were. And in fact, he even said that if you have a procedure, you got to stay overnight, so stay overnight, and the next day go home. Well, the doctors, when you go to this doctor I go to, there's like five or six of them, and they're all in there, and I don't even know their names. And one doctor says, by the way, you're going to stay an extra night. And I thought, oh boy, why am I doing that? I'm all done. Let me go home, you know. You're going to stay an extra night. So they kept me an extra night. And that evening that I stayed there, they all of a sudden the chest pain begins to start again. I thought, oh no, I just had this done yesterday. What are we doing? Why are we, what is happening? So everybody rushes in, get all the machines on you, and all the monitors are running, and all the doctors are there, and all the rest. And they get it fixed so that it stops the pressure and all the pain and all that. And, well, it must not have worked. So we'll call the doctor, and tomorrow morning we'll set you up. Do it again. So I got two holes in my wrist because of those little procedures. And I thought, now, Lord, this is not exactly fun. You know what I'm saying? This is not a fun game going through this. But I said, Lord, I'm yours. I belong to you. So whatever you want from me, just let me ride with you. And by the way, Lord, if you're going to take me home, then I'm going to go be with you and I'm not going to lose. And if you're going to take me home and I'm going to go and be with you and I'm not going to lose, neither is my family, because you've never forsaken us and left us alone. So you're going to take care of us. And you're going to take care of the children, the grandchildren, all the rest. I had to let go and give them to the Lord again. And I say again because, folks, I've done this before. We have 16 wires, I guess, in our heart. So we kind of had this procedure down pretty well in us. But the fact remains is I said, now, Lord, here we go again. Now, tell me this. If you're going to have a heart problem, it's kind of a good place to be in a hospital. You know what I'm saying? And to be in a hospital that deals with the heart that they already just dealt with, what if they just sent me home? So they call the doc up and say, he's having a problem. He says, I thought I sent him home. Because one doctor said he'd go home, another doctor said he's going to stay. What a wonderful time witnessing to this one doctor that told me I was going to stay. As you know how God used you to help me stay in this, you told me I was staying. And the other doctor says, you're going home. I said, God used it wonderfully. I had a wonderful time witnessing to people. Oh, yeah, wonderful, wonderful thing. There was a nurse that was working on me, and she says, well, I'm Jewish. I said, wonderful. You know one thing about witnessing and sharing Jesus in a hospital, if there are nurses, they can't run from you. They're working on you. I'm serious. They have to do their job. Guys taking blood and taking blood pressures and all that. So I says, she says, it is? Well, how is it? I said, well, Jesus came for the Jewish people. And he was a Jew himself. He died on the cross for their sin. And she's standing there looking at me like, we're, and not had to, she had to be nice. She was a nurse. I was really wondering what she really was thinking. But anyway, I had a chance to share with her. And that nurse became more friendly and more friendly as the days went on. And one doctor walks in and says, boy, you're cheerful this morning. I said, I am. Well, that's good. That's not a bad statement. She says, you're cheerful this morning. No, I didn't. Now, remember we talked about light? I believe so much when Jesus lives in you, if you let him, he wants to shine out from your life, even when you're not thinking about it. Because you belong to him, he lives in you, and you have his light shining from you. Three loves in your life. Very important factor that I want to talk about. First of all, the love life that I call the now love life. The now love life. Not I know I have loved the Lord, or what I have done, or I have had an experience with God 49 years ago at an altar down in a place with some people. Because that's where I began my love journey. And it's been a love journey all along. That's not enough. I ate yesterday. You ate yesterday. But you're going to be hungry again today. And it's important that we understand that. So there's a now love life. Now, I've taken these principles, and you can take them in anywhere you want to take them. Take them in your marriage. Take them in your family. Whatever you want to do with them, you can take them in your life as you walk with God. But it's got to come across. It's got to come across that you love them. I had a preacher say to me, and he was my mentor when I first started out, in my first church, he said, I've told my people, and I thought this is a selfish statement, I told my people, if you love me, show me. And I thought, whoa, you got nerve. You want him to bless you all the time? Is that what you want? If you love me, show me. And he lived with that philosophy as he taught it, and it wasn't for you to give to me. It was the fact that God loves us so much that he has shown us. And many times when I read the Word of God, and I want you to think about this again, when the disciples went out to tell the world that Jesus Christ is the Savior, just like you and I, before you stand there with your Bible and say, I want you to tell you what the Bible says, Many of them don't even have faith in the Bible. We're living in a weird time. I can quote verses of Scripture to people, and they'll say, they'll just smile, you know, because they don't have any faith in the Word of God. They don't have any faith. You could say, well, but the Bible says, and you can quote them, and their theory or their philosophy can be totally wrong. It doesn't matter to them at all. It's what they want to believe. They believe what they want to believe. However, when I was witnessing to a doctor one day, I shared how Jesus changed my life. And he said this statement, I'll never forget it, and you can't argue with experience. That's what they had. The early disciples, when they went out from the book of Acts after the day of Pentecost to tell the world about Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, they had to say, we met him, we talked with him, we listened to him, we walked with him. For 3 years we walked with him and saw him do all these wonderful things. I was talking to a Muslim, and he said who he was following, and it wasn't the Word of God. And so I just said to him, you know, the reason I'm following Jesus is because Jesus walked on water. Jesus laid his hands on the leper and healed the leper. Jesus spoke to Lazarus, who was dead 3 days and 4 days, and rose, and he came back to life. Then he went on to say, now I'm going to die on the cross for you, become the sin offering for you, and I'm going to rise then the third day and conquer death. And he did that. That's why I'm following Jesus. Nobody else has ever done that. But that's a good way to witness if you think of it. My now love life. Challenge number one, am I now in love with the Lord? Listen to this. And that Romans 13:11. And knowing the time, now it is high or vital or most important time to awake out of sleep. To awake out of sleep. Just like that sword is dull at this point, it doesn't cut. You can get into an experience in your walk with God where the love life of your walk with him is kind of put on the side, caught up in maybe many things in this life, running very fast. One of the things I don't like about the world and its speed is this, is they analyze you within 30 seconds or less when they're talking to you. Let me say this to you. I would never invite people to come to church. I believe in the church. The church is the body of Christ. But in this area, when you say church, you're talking boring, same old thing, doesn't turn me on, doesn't say anything to me, doesn't help me any. So therefore, come and meet with us. We gather at the gym in Ashby. We have a group of people that have discovered new life in Jesus, and he's changed their lives, and they're having a wonderful time enjoying God. Come and join us. We're having a wonderful time. That's what you need to share with this world, because they have no clue about what you're talking about when you invite somebody to church, because church is what's in their mind, not your mind. My mind says come to church and get saved. My mind says come to church and find new life. My mind says come and get blessed by the power of God and worship Jesus with all your heart and enjoy this walk with God in the presence of God. And come and be loved by people that will love you, and you don't even have to know their name because they have an experience with Jesus. I went to the Dr. Wilson the other day. I had to go into a checkup. The guy walks through the door and he says, you're Pastor Grant. I says, yeah. And he told me what church he went to, and he recognized me and all that stuff. And I says, you know something? I says, you know, this is old-fashioned, so hang in there, because I got gray hair for no reason. You know what I'm saying? I said, hang in there. I says, you're my brother in Christ. Did you know that? And I said, I know that's old, but when I found Jesus Christ in my life, that became one of the newest things in my life, because they said they were my brother or sister in Christ. I had a brother. I have two brothers. I have a sister from Minnesota, and I love them, and they love me. And I'm connected to them because I'm their brother or whatever. But when you say brother to me, to you, you're saying you found new life in Jesus. I found the same Jesus. We have the same Lord. Isn't that wonderful? And our hearts are blessed because we call each other that. So that's an old name that's kind of where not being used that much. But the fact remains, I said it to him. So he says, you have made my day. This is wonderful. I said, well, then praise God. We said something worthwhile. I don't know, but anyway. So in the now love life. But let's go a little further. Here's a verse of scripture that helps you with your love life. Finally, brethren, Philippians 4:8. Whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, are of good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, you can go to the secular world if you want and think on what's honest and just and pure and lovely and good report if you want to. But when I start thinking of those things, I start thinking about who Jesus is. I start thinking about how wonderful God is. And in my thinking process, I not only do that, but I start praising him for he is true and he is just and he is lovely and he is pure. Those are things that you can think on and begin to thank him for when you start feeling maybe somewhat depressed, somewhat down. The accuser of the brethren is always out there. But then there's another love that I'm asking, challenge you with, and that is not only having the now love with God. You say everybody sits here saying, I love God now. But there's a kingdom, a now kingdom love that is vital in this life that is being somewhat overlooked. Remember the Lord's Prayer? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That's a prayer. That's not a thing to memorize. I memorized that as a child and never cared about what it said or never even thought about what it said. And it isn't said to be a prayer that you memorize, so you just say it at the close of the day. It's a prayer where Jesus says, think about these things that we're talking about. And even I always say, write them down one-liners. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. All right, Lord, there's a kingdom out there, and I want you to have your kingdom come from the throne down on the earth and save everybody in this earth and build your kingdom in them. That's not what the prayer is. You're praying for the kingdom of God to come now into your life. Let Jesus be enthroned in your life. Pray that the kingdom of God will come into your life as you walk on this earth. That he will be enthroned in your life. Now, that may sound binding to you, but it doesn't sound binding to me. It sounds liberty to me. Because the wonderful Jesus and his kingdom is everything good. That's what's thrilling about this Jesus that we're living for, is when I let Jesus rule and reign in my life. If he says, don't do that, it's going to destroy your life. If I listen and if I obey, it's the truth, because things will destroy you. Sin does destroy. The great definition of sin, of course, is always that you miss the mark. Missing the mark. I don't know if you saw in the news probably a year ago now, the big cruise liner that ran ashore and tipped over sideways, and they just finally got it back up right again and after a couple of years or whatever, and got it back afloat, and they're probably going to repair it. And I told my wife, I said, that's the boat you and I want to go on for a cruise. But I didn't get a positive response. I said, but honey, listen, this boat has been seen so many times out there in the commercial world, and when they get done with this thing, it's going to be so overhauled and renewed that you'll be as safe as you'll ever be on any boat that ever cruises in this life. But nevertheless, the kingdom of God is vital for you and I to grasp, that it is a kingdom that he wants to have in our hearts. So can you say that I want the kingdom of God to come in my life? When you say that, you're talking about the King of Kings who runs the kingdom. Remember the scripture that says Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, ever praying for us? That's a wonderful thing. You can get blessed just thinking about that. But the right hand of the Father, the person that ran the kingdom, the literal kingdom, when a king was king, the person that sat at the right hand of the king was the one that ran the kingdom for the king. Jesus is the King of Kings. You can let him, now hear this, if you can get this in your own personal life, let him rule in your thought life. Let him rule in your marriage. Let him rule in your family. Let him be in rule and guide you in every step you make. The kingdom of God has to come first in your life. And the King of Kings need to be king in your life and in charge of your life. So that I would say, what do I do with my life? What does the King of Kings and Lord of Lords want me to do? Well, he wants me to build his kingdom. And this church and this body of believers is part of the body of Christ that is going to help build the kingdom of God in the hearts of people that will let him in, glory to God. And not only begin their walk with God in life, but it is a now kingdom of love, where there's lots of love here. And what I want to see and believe God with you is we can help more of those people out there understand that this body of believers loves them out there, and that God is a God of love. And if you'll let him. Now, the problem is, I've seen a lot of people come down to the altar and pray, and I love the altar. I love the altar where people can come and pray, and we're going to have an altar moment here if we can in just a few moments. But I love that, but that doesn't change unless you let the King of Kings and Lord of Lords into your life, into the throne room of your heart, where you walk with him and love him and want him to rule and reign in your life because you love him, because you want him, no other reason, but because you love him. That's so important for our lives, loving the kingdom. And the third thing is loving the coming of the Lord. Loving the coming of the Lord. Ask yourself the question this morning, when you woke up getting ready for church, besides probably feeling like you're going to be late and had to rush, did you ever think he could come today? He could literally come today. I was in a mall. I think it was in Nashua, but I'm not sure where it was. It was in a mall anyway. And by the way, if you have a girl, children, and a wife that knows how to shop, gentlemen, there's an occasion in which you should go to the mall with them instead of send them to the mall. And I have had that privilege more than once, I want to tell you. I know every store and every mall and half all the sales that are going on, if you want to really know the truth. But I have a lovely wife that figures that all out for me, so I don't have to sweat it. But I am there a lot of times. So anyway, I'm at the mall, all right? And the alarms go off. And I've never been in a mall where all the alarms went off all at one time. And so all the alarms and the noise and all warning everybody, get out of the mall, get out of the mall, fire in the mall, fire in the mall. So I'm standing around, looking around, and nobody's moving. I says, well, this maybe is a drill. Not a drill, fire in the mall, fire in the mall. And I'm still standing there looking around. Everybody's shopping, looking at the stuff in the mall. And I'm saying, you've got to be kidding. This place is burning down, and I don't care. And I said, Lord, I don't want to sound stupid, but there you can learn some spiritual lessons out of this. You know what I'm saying? You can hear so much about the coming of the Lord that it doesn't move you. Did you know that? That it doesn't move you to realize what's happening around you and that the return of Jesus Christ could be at any time. Now, I've heard that since the day I was saved 49 years ago, that Jesus could come back at any time, and he really could, and the rapture could take place. And I heard one dear lady, 80-some years old, a friend of ours, saying, I'm believing God he's going to come back for me so I don't have to die. I said, well, that may be the case. It may not be the case. But the fact remains is either way, we're going to be with Jesus. We don't lose. Either way. But if you want to take 2,000 years of people that have passed from this earth, as far as those souls are concerned, Jesus has come. You understand that? Jesus has come. And therefore, the coming of the Lord could be at any moment. If he calls you home, just like he could call me home. But Dad, everybody doesn't have a heart condition, so therefore you might drop dead any time, but not everybody else is going to do that. Well, maybe they aren't, but they could go out some other way. You know what I'm saying? You never know when the Lord's going to call us. So we have to live with a love of the coming of the Lord mentality in our lives, in the fact that we are looking for the coming of the Lord to come. In, first of all, to the lives of people that we love. My brother-in-law, my wife's oldest brother, was told he only had a certain number of days left to live, and so he drove to Florida to see him. And I remember my wife was brought up in a wonderful Christian home. I loved her mother and father, and they loved the Lord. And I was always asking questions about what the Lord did in their life. And I loved, he was a walking history book about the things of God. He was in Newfoundland when Pentecost came to Newfoundland. So I'm in Bible school studying, and I thought, man, I got a walking history book here. I'm going to interview this guy. I'm going to learn every step he took and all the rest. So he's praying for his kids, five kids, and wanted to see them all ready to meet Jesus before he went to meet Jesus. He didn't see that. So as we walked through the door of my oldest brother-in-law's home, in his bed, he said to his dear sister, my wife, he said, I want you to know that I've made a new commitment to Jesus Christ, and I'm ready to go. So I thought, wow, this is wonderful. Well, then he said to me, Russell, read the word to me. Then he said, Russell, I've got to take a nap. Russell, would you pray before I take a nap? He wakes up, he says, Russell, let's get the hymn book out and start singing hymns. I'm telling you, the kingdom of God came into that man's heart and that man's life. He knew all about it, brought up in it, and all the rest. But at the same time, when it came to this experience, I said, my father-in-law, if he can look down from the throne, he's having another Pentecost all by himself up in heaven because he's going to be rejoicing. That man is going to be with Jesus. Glory to God. Thinking about, praying about the coming of the Lord. And I'm not talking about prophecy. I know it's all there. And if you listen to the different prophets, they'll tell you all the different signs of the times. And they're all there. And all the rest is before you. But you have to have a love for the coming of the Lord. Because we are all living on the edge of time and we have no assurance of anything whatsoever in our lives. And we know that there's either being a ready or not being a ready, if you get the message. There's either knowing him or not knowing him, being born of the Spirit or not being born of the Spirit. Here's a verse of Scripture that if Jesus tarries, it's going to cause the Christians an early persecution. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now here's the key. You can buy into that or not, but here's the key. No man comes to the Father, God the Father, but by me. The Church of Jesus Christ is going to be considered someday a radical left-wing bunch of narrow-minded people that don't have a clue about life. There are other gods and there are other ways to God and there are other this and that and the other that the world is going to say and you and I are going to be saying, but there's really no way other way to God but through Jesus. There's no salvation in any other but through Jesus Christ. That's the truth and it's going to stay that way forever and ever. And whatever the case may be and whatever the time may be, the fact and reality is that Jesus Christ is coming. And the fact remains is you don't know whether he's going to come for the rapture or you don't know whether he's going to come for you. You don't have any guarantees about how long we're going to be here on this earth. But we have to pray for his coming. Pray to be ready for his coming. Pray to be ready for the kingdom of God to come in our lives. Let him rule and reign. You may be here this morning and starting your walk and maybe you haven't walked too long in the Lord. And maybe there's some kingdoms in your life that really haven't been dealt with. Like, I don't want to go there kind of kingdoms. I don't want to be there. I think your pastor's heard me tell this, but a lady invited me to come to her home and pray over her home. And that's a nice thing. I hadn't done that before in this particular case. But anyway, I think she came out of a I don't know if it was Buddhist religion or whatever. But she said, I want you to come and pray over our home. But before you pray over the home when you come, I want you to go through every room, every bedroom, every closet, in the basement, every single room in my house. I want you to go through it and see if there's anything in these rooms that are not of God. I don't want them in my home. I want to get them out, and then I want you to pray over. So she took me through every room and every closet. In her home. By the way, I'm coming to your house and I'm going to look into every room and every closet. I haven't been invited back since either. I don't know why, but anyway. I chuckle at it because in our lives are made up of many rooms. Did you know that? You have your marriage room for your marriage. You may have your marriage room for your room for your family life. You maybe have your room for your job life. You may have a room. I had a man come back from a men's convention in my one of my pastorates, and he was feeling depressed. I said, "What's the matter, brother?" He said, "I just went and sang hymns and choruses and praised God with 300 men worshiping God. And then I went to a little seminar on the side, and I look up, and the guy that was teaching the seminar, I work for." He says, "He's an engineer, works for Pratt & Whitney." He says, "I never even knew the man was a Christian." And he's giving a lesson from a spirit-filled perspective on some subject. He said, "That blew me away. I work with this guy. I never hear nothing from him. He never talks about God at all." Now, this guy was a new babe in Christ, and he was so in the thrill of the Lord that he wanted to talk about the Lord anyway. But the fact remains is, he said, "I never even knew he was a Christian. I'm depressed." I said, "Well, just don't be like him. Just keep living your life for Jesus." But maybe that's a room in your life. Maybe that's a room where Jesus is not in control. Maybe he needs to work in that area. You know where it is. Maybe it's the marriage. Maybe it's the home life. Maybe it's your. Maybe it's hurts. Maybe there are hurts that I've talked with people that have told me about their life story, and I say to myself, how can they survive with what they've gone through in their life? But somehow they are surviving, and the fact remains is, if you learn to let Jesus be ruling the kingdom, you are going to be safe. So have a love for the kingdom, and then make sure you have a now love for Jesus Christ. Be in love with Jesus. You can build that, folks. You can build that by saying, "I love you." And just a moment, brother, would you and sister, you come up to the platform and be ready. We're going to take just a moment, if you don't mind, just talk to the Lord. And if you don't mind, if we can make this like an altar where we come and stand before the Lord. If we can do that in just a moment, and we're going to just take a moment to allow you to just let the Spirit of God speak to you about your love life with the Lord. Loving the Lord, simple word. Jesus said the most important commandment is to love the Lord with all your heart, mind, and soul. It's the first commandment. That's easy to say. But there is no real love if it isn't all, is there? Love is not real if you don't love with all. And yet somehow we can categorize it as love in compartments, and love in certain areas, and then love in areas that we only want him to move into. But maybe there's some areas that God's dealing through the Holy Spirit, as we've been talking about our experience in love, that maybe God wants to deal with in your life. Because all he's trying to do is take it out that shouldn't be there and put in what needs to be there in your life. Would you stand together with me, please? And I'm going to ask Pastor Debbie to come and stand up here next to us in case we need to pray over people and allow them to do that. But we're gonna just ask you to say, "Lord, I wanna come to you with my love relationship, and I wanna build my relationship of love more than where I'm at." Love grows. Love grows. Let your love life grow in your walk with God. And what I am so thrilled about it is that when my love life grows in the Lord, it also grows in marriage, it also grows with my children and my grandchildren and in my neighbors and my friends. It grows in your life. So let's all just come around and stand for just a moment. Could you do that for me as a small family? Just kind of just fill in right around here, everyone, if you don't mind. And let's kind of sing a chorus to get our hearts open, and just let the Lord work in your heart as we sing this chorus. Just open your heart to the Lord for just a moment. Yes, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Rescued me. Love came down and set me free. I am yours. I am you ever yours. Jesus. Hallelujah. Ever yours. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, while we're here at this very sacred moment, would you just take a moment and willfully raise your hands to the Lord, like a surrender moment in your life. Just raise your hands to Him for a moment. Jesus, we externally raise our hands in submission to You and surrender. But Lord, You look down into our hearts, and I pray this be a moment of surrender to Your plan, to the working of the Holy Spirit to do what You need to do in us, whatever that might be. But if we all could just pray this prayer together, would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, thank You for loving me. Thank You for coming into this world and being my Redeemer. I ask You again, Lord, now, to come into my heart, into my life, into my unsurrendered areas. Cleanse them first, Lord, from sin. And I invite You now to live in me. Take control of my life and help me love You with all my heart. In Jesus' name, amen.